The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Where's Scott?
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The federal government can do most anything in this country.
And let me say this to all of the chattering class. The American people really don't care.
Robert Scott Bell.
Where in the Constitution does it give you the authority?
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Wow.
What's going on here?
This is scary.
Robert Scott Bell.
I personally feel that I've done nothing morally wrong.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. You know, do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am? I worked so hard to get that title.
Stop whining.
Liberals, I hate them so much.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Run, everybody, run. Good morning, good afternoon. Run wherever you are. There's germs everywhere. That's why we don't panic here. But, of course, in the media they do. And, of course, there's a story, I'd say this, about McDougal's. McDonald's is in the news, Don. Is it that they've come out with organic non-GMO food? Could it be? No.
I thought maybe it was because the McRib was back.
The McRib was back. Yes, that's it. You know, if somebody's going to be calling me and they're chewing on a McRib, I might hang up on them. I'm not a rude person, but I might do that.
You know, Robert, I saw a picture yesterday of what a McRib looks like when it has no barbecue sauce all over it.
Does it look like an alien species of some kind?
Oh, we ought to put this on the website.
Okay.
A naked McRib. It's absolutely disgusting.
If you, anyway. If you can find that picture, maybe we can include it in show notes by showtime today.
Absolutely.
We got a McDonald's. A woman is protesting McDonald's. And I'm thinking, wow, is it because she recognizes how bad the food might be, you know, loaded with pesticides or GMOs or whatever? No, evidently this woman in Chandler, Arizona says she was banned because she's complaining about the play area. Germs on the play area.
Yep. I mean, McDonald's has gone as far as to ban her from the play area and threatened to charge her with criminal trespassing if she sets foot anywhere near it.
Yeah. Well, you can complain about the food. Come on in. But don't talk about our playground. Don't be messing with our playground. The kids might not want to. Of course, you know, listen, if a baby has an accident on one of those things and they don't clean it up, that could be dangerous. But many of these microbial surfaces that are contaminated with all kinds of nasties, as long as you have intact skin and you know, you're not going to be. When's the last time we heard of an outbreak at a McDonald's play area of MRSA? I mean, you know, devastating situations.
Well, that's true. And this particular woman, she's on this national crusade to clean up the fast food play areas. And, I can't fault her.
No, nothing wrong with that. I'm cleaning
for that because sure. I do remember several years ago they banned. You remember how the kids used to have the ball pits? They used to jump in with all the balls.
Yes.
I played with the kids in those before. What they did is they found when they went around to all the different play areas that the staff hadn't been cleaning those out.
Yeah.
And so they were finding dirty diapers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Some of them in some of the really bad areas, they were finding needles. You know, and stuff inside.
Well, we're talking basic common sense here of sure. Cleanliness, but you know, why isn't this mom, honestly, if she's protesting something really important, I would say, look, let's get some organic food options at McDonald's. One non-GMO meal. Come on. Is that too much to ask? Evidently, it's all about cleaning up the play area.
I think it is. It is, as far as McDonald's point of view.
Maybe. But, I mean, if they just go with their Sovereign Silver spray or something and spray down their kids after they play here, they'll be all right.
Sure. Well, you know, she's gone around. She's found that there are these bugs, you know. I think it was staff and MRSA. As she said, she found these in the play areas. So everybody is automatically been programmed that, you know, if there's germs there, we need to call 911 because we're all going to die. When in reality, obviously, as we know, that just the presence of the germ
is not enough.
Is not something not enough, to cause you to have to.
By the way, Don, we've got some serious germ theory run amok stuff today. Of course, the Lancet came out with this flu shot meta-analysis study. We're going to pick this thing apart. Mike Adams wrote a great piece on it, and he destroyed it as well on Natural News today. But Liam Sheff is going to join me. We're going to have some fun with this. And if we can, last I talked with Peter Doshi, he was in Japan. If you remember that guy, he's a Harvard, MIT trained. He wrote, he's a PhD now. He wrote some stuff about the flu shot mortality rates and destroyed the CDC's annual claim of 36,000. We're going to see if we can get him on the line today.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had
it. It has been. I'm going to try. We'll see. And yeah, I know you helped me with these things, too. Plus, second, oh, my gosh. You know, the HIV mythology still persists despite the absurdity of it and the lack of science to support it. But one of the most efficient, effective ways to destroy it is just to destroy the test. The HIV test is being destroyed in court, in the courts of law. Wow. We're going to talk about 34 plus cases that have just been dropped outright because the HIV tests have been challenged. The experts defending them have been challenged, and they're losing right, left, and center. We got Clark Baker, a good friend from the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice, OMSJ, and Liam and I will do that. I mean, man, we have got some historic, groundbreaking information coming out today.
Well, that's a significant number, 34 cases.
Yeah, and you know, it's more than
we've
that.
We've been talking about the HIV. We were talking about the HIV thing when that wasn't cool. And a lot of people are talking about it now. A lot more people are talking about it, especially, you know, when the House of Numbers came out.
Yes.
That was absolutely, you know, fantastic documentary that came out. And it's, you know, what are they going to do now? You know, when this stuff ends up in the courts and they're dropping cases left and right.
Yep. Yeah, they can't. They can no longer
accuse
you.
How can you ignore it, right? Black this out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Black this out. So we're going to do that next hour, which is going to be great. And by the way, another thing, you know, related to the germ theory as we're kicking it off here today, this is from healthfinder.gov. Don, you found this earlier. Drug-resistant infections in hospitals may be less deadly than thought. So at the same time, we got a mom, you know, basically banned from McDonald's for complaining about the germs that are there on the play area. Now we're having an acknowledgement that the antibiotic-resistant infections acquired in hospitals' intensive care units may be killing fewer patients than feared.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I saw this, what is it that we talk about all the time? It's the law of the terrain, that it's not the germ that you have to be afraid of. It has to do with your overall health and your ability to be able to deal with that germ and fight that germ. And what they found here for a long time in the hospitals, I've seen study after study where they say, oh, you know, they go into a hospital and they test all the different surfaces in the hospital. Well, the scrubs that the doctors are wearing are loaded with germs. Oh, the sheets or the curtains that are surrounding the beds are loaded with germs. And, you know, so they're testing all of these different surfaces.
Yeah.
Saying, gosh, your hospitals are just loaded with all of these germs. And what they found here is it's the patient's overall health and the severity of the injury that they come into the hospital with that determines more whether they're going to survive or not a particular germ that happens to be
excuse
in the hospital.
Me, excuse me, did they say law of the terrain? Did they?
Well,
they didn't
use those words.
They didn't,
but in any other words, if you if you say the patient's overall health, that's the law of the terrain.
That is the law, so exactly. And
this is a very significant study here, you know, how they can now not take that logic now that they've had to come to, that determination, and now maybe extend that into other areas. They probably won't.
No, they won't. I mean,
I thought
the story
was a significant thing.
Don, the story's great because it does. It acknowledges what we've said for years here, that it isn't the germ, it isn't the microbe, it's the terrain. Now, the drug-resistant infections are up. We're not endorsing drug-resistant. Yes, Robert came out in favor of drug-resistant infections today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Oh, we're going to have to ban him with, like they banned the woman from McDonald's. But no, the reality is these infections are no stronger in terms of their ability to kill you than the other ones, except for the fact that the antibiotics do not kill them. Now, you'd be, well, that isn't that stronger? Well, specific to that, but in terms of the health of the patient, it's completely irrelevant. If we can restore integrity of the health of the patient, like I've said, like for using silver, the resistant strains are no more resistant to silver than the regular. It's not. It's just specific. They eat the antibiotics for lunch because they express new DNA to do that, a very narrow focus attack. And so when we promote the law of the train, as we are going to do here with the influenza discussion today on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as well as when we talk to Clark Baker about the whole HIV fallacy, you begin to understand that what we have been frightened of, it's really all the drug-based paradigm. You're trapped within drugs, drugs, and more drugs. And what we're trying to do is free you. And by the way, if we have any kids listening today on the Robert Scott Bell Show, some of this, I'm not going to try to warn away the kids from listening, but here's what I want you to do to protect your health. Tell your moms and dads to complain about the cleanliness of the playgrounds at McDonald's so you too can be banned from going to McDonald's. Therefore, you will live a healthier life and have a healthier childhood. Thank you, Don.
That's right. In a roundabout way, that'll take care of what, you know, really what the big problem is what it is they're eating.
Yes, exactly. Well, you nailed it. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com, naturalnewsradio.com. Please sign up for email alerts there as well. We got lots of healing things to do today on the air. Flu shot madness. The science isn't there to support the flu shot. Oh, my goodness. We'll pick that apart like nowhere else in media after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show.
As promised, the conspiracy realist, investigative journalist, Liam Sheff joins us now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam, welcome back.
Where the promise is made, I wasn't there.
Well, you know, I made a promise to my listening audience. You did it. So you're here. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We got a lot of things to do, including flu shot madness studies, meta-analyses. Lots of nonsense. You know, years ago on this show, when I was just doing the broadcast every Sunday, as I had for many years, I had a MIT Harvard student, PhD student, doctoral student by the name of Peter Doshi. And he blew open wide by looking at the analysis of all the flu shot data, all the influenza recurrence or occurrence data that the CDC had always paraded around 36,000 deaths annually as the reason why we've got to have a flu shot because 36,000 people are dying every year. Well, as we looked and parsed the data, and as he did, and it got published in peer-reviewed journals and covered worldwide in the major news organizations, it turned out the actual death rate annually, a typical annual death rate to actual influenza virus or influenza outbreaks, was closer to 1,000 per year. Now, give or take, I mean, it will go up or down, but the reality is what they were trying to do was lump a lot of secondary infections and pneumonia in as if they were actually flu deaths. And Liam Sheff has written a brilliant overview article as well on his site, liamsheff.com. We're going to talk about momentarily.
Absolutely. It was a small analysis. I was just taking what is being presented right now in the Lancet Journal of Infectious Disease. And if you have that in front of you.
Yes, I do.
We can sort of parse through a little bit. Now, I'm just – when you read a medical journal article
– yeah.
There are layers and layers. As
the first layer is the title, though.
Right.
Let's try that.
That's the first line.
You want to do the first efficacy, which means how well it works, right? Efficacy and effectiveness, which is a synonym
thing.
To efficacy. So right away from the get-go. Efficacy and effectiveness of influenza vaccines, a systematic review and meta-analysis. Okay.
And here we enter.
How systematic? I don't know.
Here we enter what James Jesus Angleton of the CIA called the wilderness of mirrors, where you begin to enter and you just don't know what you're looking at. So when you read a medical journal article, you start with a title because that's the first lie. Let's see how true it is. Efficacy and effectiveness of influenza vaccines, a systematic review and meta-analysis. They're not actually going to look at whether a single vaccine is effective. What they're going to do is they're going to look at 17, 18, 20, some odd number of studies. They're going to exclude some because they created some arbitrary data that said, we don't like the way you tested for it. You didn't use enough PCR. We want more PCR. So they exclude the studies that they don't
use. We're trashing that one. By the way, I mentioned yesterday on the show, they were coming out with a 59% efficacy rate on the flu shot.
That's it.
And I think it was much lower, but I mean, people are actually being shocked that it's only 59%. So it's actually backfiring on them. If they intended this to mean how great flu shots are, it's causing more questions than answers. We're going to go through more of that, of course.
Right. But of course, I mean, so you go through, and there's the background and methods and findings, interpretation. Man, if you could only read St. Thomas Aquinas, you know.
No, I mean, Latin is easier than this, right?
No, I mean, go back to the medieval scholars. They called them athletes of God because what they would do is they would take little tiny bits of the Greek Bible. You know, they got a hold of the translation in Greek, and they would just argue about what it meant for 10,000 words, 100,000 words. And they were called athletes of God. And they would, and St. Thomas Aquinas really asked, how many angels can dance on the head of... And he meant it.
On a pin, the head of a pin.
And he really meant it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a metaphysical question, and they meant it. What is an angel? How much energy does it... What's the space of... So here we are looking... Comparing flu studies, there's no patient here.
There's no corresponding way to actually compare them unless you kind of do mental gyrations and gymnastics, much like they do to prove that there's something called HIV.
Right.
Right.
But here in this 15 pages or whatever is in my hand, there's not a person. There's no person here. Nobody. We can't talk to anybody who got sick. We can't know what they did.
If they got sick.
We really don't even know if anybody got sick because of the way flu ends up being defined. Sometimes they say clinical, but usually they're talking about blood serology or PCR. And PCR is make-believe. And if they look for antibodies in the blood, you can have leftover antibodies from a year ago.
Well, exactly. But remember, the entire vaccine paradigm rests upon the foundation of artificially stimulating antibody production that they can somehow measure through titer. So if they are declaring efficacy based on some serology, which some of this we went through this paper, and we'll have links to it. I don't know if we can publish the whole thing for you, but we are going to endeavor to do our best to take a fine-tooth comb to it on radio here. And help you understand what's going on, because the mainstream old media is going to tout this as, oh, this is the successful thing. This shows flu shots, so the way to save all life on planet Earth, when in fact it shows no such thing.
Right, it's confounding from the start. So they're look, if you hear the press, if you read what's going to be printed in the mainstream, they're going to say that shoeflots are flu shots.
Shoeflots, that's what they should write because it'd be more accurate. Shoeflot, don't bother me.
Don't take a fine comb tooth to that and get your shoeflot. Okay, so flu shots, they say, are 60% effective. That's what they're going to say. Now, you have to ask, then you look in here and they say, well, 59% effective. Then you start getting into the underlayers, and it really means that they're looking at a variety of studies, and they're comparing them, they're excluding some, and they're saying, based on a meta-analysis and a confidence interval, now we're in statistics
now we're
class.
Now in con games.
Yes, now we're playing, now it's Las Vegas again. Well, the confidence interval of 95% confidence over a certain number of years with a certain number of people, it doesn't mean anything anymore. So what they're going to say, though, and what you're going to see in the press, and what I just wrote about, if they're serious, if they're sincere, they're saying that shoeflots.
Yes, shoeflots. I love shoeflots. Much safer than flu shots.
Get your shoes flot. the flu shot is, they're going to say, is 59% effective. So that's what they call the takeaway now. That's going to be the takeaway in the Rachel Maddow Hour.
But that doesn't that leave, let's see, is it 41%? What happened to the other 41%?
41%. So if you just even believe them.
Okay, let's say for a second that we believe them.
They're saying that flu shots are, yes. Oh, that's a tough one, are 59% effective, 41%
failure.
Ineffective. Yeah. You then have to just wait a second. So you're saying that if you vaccinate
100 people,
100 people, 59 will be protected from the flu, which I guess means
they won't get it, maybe?
And 41
will get it.
So based on their analysis,
let's pretend we vaccinated 320 million Americans based on their own percentages that they give in this study.
32.
Can we figure this out?
Yeah, 32. I'm just going to make it 300 million for now.
All right, 300 million. Make it easy.
120.
We'll say 20 million escape. 49. They're hiding.
123 million people out of 100, out of all, you vaccinate the whole country?
Wait, you vaccinate everybody and
everybody
how many? Based on this 59% success rate.
123 million vaccinated people get the flu?
We're going to have a pandemic that's beyond the flu, 1918 flu. Never.
Wait a second.
Everybody go get the flu. We're going to have the worst pandemic in the history of the world based on this study alone.
So if you believe them, you'd be crazy to get a flu shot.
you've said that well, Grasshopper.
You'd be putting a gun to your head. Well, let's compare it then. Let's be fair. Let's compare it to the number of people they say. And here's where we get into Peter Doshi. The number of people they say, well, it's hard to find how many people who are not vaccinated get the flu. The CDC has a number of funny ways to talk about this. They say that the number of people who get the flu and or die from the flu, excuse me? Most people don't die from the flu. You sit in bed for a week and you feel sorry and you feel bad about all the stuff.
Well,
that
was the point I wanted to bring up initially,
right,
about the Peter Doshi study. When we parse the stats, now the CDC, you still have doctors claiming 36,000. They didn't get the memo. But the CDC is even saying.
Well, we'll get to that. And,
okay,
and our friends at NPR even had a funny way. If you look at the end of that, they have a funny way, the one that I wrote, they have a funny way of saying, we don't know what we're talking about. But okay, the CDC says the number of people who get the flu and or die from the flu is 5% or 20%. Do you get the feeling that these people are playing with slide rules that you couldn't get away with if you were just sort of doing regular accounting? So either 5% or up to 20% of people either die and or get sick from the flu. This is the CDC, our Centers for Disease Control, every year.
It's incredible.
Do you believe it? But if you take the meta-analysis seriously, out of 100% vaccinated population, if you just take their statistic at face value, 41% of people, which is a lot worse than 20% and infinitely worse than 5%.
And what is the general population percentage of influenza? I mean, it's statistically insignificant if we talk about the death rate being around 1,000 a year, if that.
Yeah,
directly.
Given their fake 36,000, and you're not even, what is that? Are you at 1% at
not
that point?
Not even.
Not even. And if you're, or you're at 0.1%, I got to do the math.
It's very
properly.
Small. It's so statistic. It's ridiculous.
So then talk about the Doshi thing.
Well, so again, the Doshi thing, and he analyzed all of the data on true death rates, which, you know, the CDC for many years was able to basically throw these stats out without anybody questioning them. And in this case, they found that, well, it wasn't 36,000 a year. They had basically come up with those numbers, and they'll say tens of thousands.
They will. But now they say, well, can you read the bit? This is NPR reporting.
NPR reporting.
On the fact that even in the mainstream, they said, whoops, we don't have 36,000 deaths per year.
We're actually still mulling over exactly what we will say in our reporting. We definitely say tens of thousands die from the flu on average each year. But whether we get more specific than that is still under discussion. Your ideas are welcome.
This is...
send us... Hey, vote on which number. We're going to put up a little chart here. You get the vote.
Yeah. We'll definitely say tens of thousands. What they said in the line before that was, though, the CDC was reporting it was as low as, I think, 3,300
right.
per year.
And the actual, as I said, is even lower. But this is the point. Once you start parsing the data and you really call them out, like Peter Doshi did, and no one's disputed it. No one has peer-reviewed, published to counteract it. I mean, he's got a little bit of angry hate mail, yes, but nobody went in and got anything published that was official in response to him that counteracted the data that he found. Now, beyond that 36,000 annual number, as I said, this is the lumping together of deaths secondary to influenza, perhaps, because they don't even definitively identify influenza in most cases. They don't go in and say, oh, we definitely found loads of the virus there, which would indicate an actual infection that they could measure. So it's worse than it, the more you look at it, the worse it gets, right?
Right. So you take out people who've been poisoned in the hospital, and maybe Peter was looking at that kind of thing. How many people, these are secondary effects. Well, they're not even going to count that in. I mean, we had the make-believe swine flu case. Well, it was an actual guy who was sick, I think, in New Zealand or Australia. New Zealand, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And the doctors left him for dead. His family fought then and said, inject him with vitamin C.
It was in a coma, I believe. He was so bad off, if I remember correctly. He was unconscious.
His family said, you've left him for dead. Inject him with a sodium ascorbate, vitamin C. He made a full recovery.
Yeah.
He was dead to the doctors.
Yeah.
So if you exclude the number of people the doctors kill who have the flu, I don't know how many people die of the flu each year.
Well, and this goes back also to the typhoid and typhus diseases, the fever diseases, the smallpox as well. All of those that were allopathically suppressed, that is treated with mercury and mercury chloride, they were increasing death rates, mortality rates, up over 50%. Of course, they've come to say, well, smallpox has a 30% death rate, but it's pretty close to 0%, if you will, when you go homeopathically and holistically and you allow the body to express the disease and get over it and detoxify from it. But they don't tell you about that when you go through the traditional allopathic medical school indoctrination. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to parse this out even further so you don't fall prey to the nonsense that the old media is going to be claiming. Hey, the flu shot works! No! It's going to give 123 million people a flu if everybody got injected. But we got that and lots more, and I'll explain as well why they don't do placebo-controlled studies, that which they claim are the only way, the gold standard, you can figure this out. Well, they didn't do it here. But stay with us. We got lots more healing to do on this subject and more on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
You know, when the medical community says gold standard in testing and on validation, because they always like to throw that at, oh, herbs, they haven't been tested for safety or efficacy. There's no double-blind placebo-controlled studies. Well, you think there have been any done on the flu shot each year? No, nada, zip, nothing. In fact, in this article we're referring to here, Liam Schiaff on board with me here on the Robert Scott Bell Show this hour, it acknowledges a fact here that they don't want you to really know, but it's in here, in plain English, even non-Latin English, even though it's originated in Latin, but that's another story. Routine field studies of the effectiveness of presently licensed influenza vaccines that use virus-confirmed endpoints are needed for all age groups. That means they haven't done them. Next sentence really telling here. Because placebo-controlled efficacy studies are not feasible for licensed vaccines, innovative approaches to measurement of vaccine effectiveness will be important. That means we're going to make crap up to try and convince you of that which we can't convince ourselves because we don't have the science to do it. Did I translate that okay?
Do it again. Placebo-controlled
efficacy studies are not feasible for licensed vaccines.
Not feasible.
Well, it means we don't want to do them.
They're feasible.
Of course they're feasible. They're not feasible. Why? Because we don't want to conduct them because of what we'll find.
It depends on what the definition of is your
exactly
your
feasible. And I think in feasible, there's an I and an S somewhere, so they could reverse it and say, yeah, there's an is in feasible.
There certainly is. In other words, we will never do a study where we give some people, we inject them with stuff we grew in monkey testicles.
And with 25 micrograms of mercury.
Mercury and aluminum.
Yep. And then inject one group with saline.
And inject one group with nothing.
Yeah,
we were not even to inject them. We'll just not.
Well,
show.
I mean, to do it fairly, the placebo would be something like water or saline. I mean,
why? So yeah. They can think they were
exactly.
Injected with something?
That's how it goes. You give them the pill. That's
so,
right.
Okay, inject them with. Hey, let's do a vitamin C versus mercury. Let's do a vitamin C versus vaccine.
Sure.
Go back to that New Zealand case. That guy certainly seemed to enjoy it better.
But likely what they would do if they ever came close to what I said, they would probably end up putting 25 or 50 micrograms of mercury in the placebo just to say it's fair. But the reality is they don't want to conduct any vaccine to non-vaccine studies because remember the German homeopath that published, was it a week or so ago we talked about this? And he found that it was 2 to 5 times the incidence of chronic disease in the vaccinated population versus non-vaccinated. That's why they can never do this. That's why it's not feasible. It's right there.
We'll put ourselves out of business and get The Hague opened up for war crimes against for crimes against humanity.
Exactly.
Okay, so there won't. That's really important. You have to understand that whenever you read these things, they're never comparing them with people who are actually allowed to get better. The other thing, you know, just as a kid from a family of doctors, the thing that bugs me is I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know if they were fed grape soda and white bread with jam on it, which is just going to feed bacteria and run the system down. I have no idea how these people
live. Nothing like that referenced at all.
No micronutrients. It's just totally irrelevant that the body actually has to process food and nutrients while it's healthy and while it's healing and while it's sick and all the rest. So that's totally absent from this. Then you get this fact. Look, make sure that you take away from this the notion that they won't actually test a vaccine against the non-vaccine. They'll tell you that it's unethical to do so or something. Really, they're just...
Well, here they just say unfeasible. They didn't even go to the ethical issue.
They do the same thing with AIDS drugs. So if you want to see how effective an AIDS drug is, you can only test it against another AIDS drug.
Right.
That's how
not
they,
science.
No,
it's, not at all.
It's I don't know what it is. It's just business. It's mafia business. So here's a line from this study from the Lancet Journal of Infectious Diseases, I believe. Yeah. Hey, tell me if you understand what this means. Dun-da-da-da-da. In the first year, vaccine efficacy was 66%.
The first year of what? Our Lord?
We're looking at two seasons of a study.
Yes.
In the first year, the vaccine efficacy was 66%. And in the second year, it was -7%.
That means, well, what does that mean? -7%. That means you gave the flu to 7% more people?
What? I don't know. People who weren't in the study got the flu. Are they trying to say it was down 7%? Their language here is very unclear, but they wrote -7, not down 7. They wrote in mathematical language -7%. Okay, here on the next page is a funny. Five studies assessed the effectiveness of the monovalent H1N1 vaccine for prevention of medically attended. Okay, so they're saying, remember the make-believe swine flu H1N1, H5N1 was bird flu. Do I have that right?
Yeah, H1N1.
So the make-believe swine flus. Here we go. RT-PCR, that's reverse transcriptase PCR, which is about as effective as finding a specific bit of genome as, fill in your joke here. I'll come up with it later. Give me a second. Okay, so they use RT-PCR to confirm H1N1 infection. But if you go and read the papers on bird flu, and they'll tell you that the things that they used to find infection, they had to modify and modulate until they even got a tick that they could consider infected with these things. In other words, PCR is not effective at finding anything specific. It's effective at finding anything and calling it something
right.
specific.
Whatever you want to be calling it, you can call it.
So H1N1 doesn't have to find H1N1.
I found a license plate. That's not a license plate. That's a car.
Right.
No, it's just a license. No, it's a car.
Right. I found a piece of aluminum. That's an airplane. Yeah. That's exactly how it works. Oh, mm-hmm. There's aluminum foil in my cabinet. There must be an airplane in there. That's the PCR scientist.
Yeah.
So they're saying they assess the effectiveness of the vaccine by doing PCR. Wait a second. They didn't walk up to people and say, we injected you with some mercury and aluminum. How are you feeling?
No.
Well, actually, I've been throwing up for 3 days. How are you?
Well, that's influenza-like illness. You count, right?
That's the other one.
That's the definition. Listen, and they claim here there are no randomized controlled trials showing efficacy in ages 2 to 17. No randomized controlled trials showing efficacy for people 8 to 59 years of age. That pretty much covers the entire spectrum, unless you get the really old people, where they'll make some other claims. But the studies included in their review, including the LAIV in young children, also show substantial variability by season and age group that cannot be attributed to differences in study. I mean, this is just basically saying, we have no idea what we've just found here, but we're going to publish it and put a percentage on it and report it to the media, and we hope that it comes out okay.
Yeah, where did these guys get their money? We declare that we have no conflicts of interest. That's a nice joke. I'm sorry. Let's see.
It says the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation grant. We'll have to go digging on them. And they thank James Neaton for his assistance with the meta-analysis. Statistical methods, Lori Seidelman.
Look, this is published in a major medical journal. They're reading other people's papers. This isn't a study of health that has nothing to do. You can walk around, and I put them, if you accept their their top of the marquee numbers, 59% and 41%,
yeah,
as anything. It makes vaccination look like the most dangerous thing you could ever do to a population.
Yeah,
and the number, and then you look into the CDC's figuring of how many people live or get sick, and you get massive statistical 5% to 20%. Which is what and how? How did you figure this out? Then you look at how many people die every year. They say, well, it could be 3,000, but we'll continue to let people say tens of thousands. Then if you do a better analysis, you get down to about 1,000. If you look at, and then you have to figure out who these people are. Are they ancient and elderly and wizened and tired and being fed, you know, white bread and yellow gravy in a nursing home and nobody giving them a hug or any love? Or is it the fact that some people die every day and they're just using these numbers to terrify people into worshiping at the, what do you call it, Church of Biological Mysticism?
Yes, yes. John Rappaport's famous ascription, if you will, description of the modern medical pharmaceutical complex. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with here. It's falling apart. I mean, they're absolutely desperate every day, like yesterday having Dr. Hooker on, Brian Hooker, about the CDC. Lies, 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 and more lies. And, of course, we've caught them in statistical lies about influenza. This meta-analysis is filled with junk science, the overview that is meaningless. How do they determine whether flu has been prevented? Negative 7%? What does that mean?
I mean, how do they figure out if flu has either occurred or been prevented? They're looking at serologic stuff. So are they measuring for antibodies? And they say, you're sick as a dog, but you have antibodies, so the vaccine protected you? And if they say that somebody got the flu or wasn't protected, did they just have antibodies but weren't sick? There's nothing here. And this is the way most medical studies are today. And I don't know who these people are, Michael Osterholm, Nicholas Kelly, Alfred Sommer, and Edward Bologna. I don't know who these people are or the institutions they're from. I'm sure they're happy to have their name on a paper, but it's crap. It's meaningless. And they can take it home to their, you know, their loved ones or, you know, girlfriends. Hey, look, I'm published. I might get a few thousand more dollars in funding next year for the study I want to perform. I've got friends who work in the sciences, and I very often rib them pretty hard about why they're spending their lives pushing up somebody else's ego, because it's always the case. They're always buttressing somebody's ego, some lab manager who wants to get something published, and they're working on some paper that they hate, that they think has no value, and they say, but if I do this, I'll get my name in a paper, and then I can right. really run the study that I want to, that shows, and I think that shows what? And we talk about it, and I say, don't you already know the answer to what you're proposing?
And yes.
Yeah, they do. And it's something so microscopic, you think, who are you helping? I mean, really, I mean, you and I can walk out right now and we can find 15 cures for different kinds of cancer. Right now, we can actually find them. They exist. They're being used in clinics all over the country under penalty of being punished by the FDA, but we can find them. And they work. If you're a doctor, don't you care more about that? Don't you want to throw off the shackles of this intellectual servitude that turns you into a giant monkey fuss?
I would monkey pus maybe at this point, because that's what goes into the vaccines. This is something that is breaking worldwide. Mike Adams is covering it as well over at Natural News. He sent some of this data too and alerted us to it. And, you know, trying to parse it, make sense of it. I think we're doing a good job of making sense out of nonsense, honestly.
I'm happy to accept the top of the marquee thing. Vaccines cause 41% of people who are vaccinated to be sick. That's fine. Go ahead. Take that and run with it. Based on their analysis, I don't even know what data that they have to demonstrate that 59% of people are protected. But
right.
take it. Go
is
ahead.
It, like I said, is it an antibody? Is it that they didn't get a sniffle? Is it the PCR? Is it some titer test? Is it they sneezed? Did they have a fever? I mean, nothing like this is addressed or assessed in reality. So that's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Sheff's article is linked as well through the show notes at robertscottbell.com today. If you have a question or comment, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Going to take a quick break. Say thanks to our wonderful sponsors. And
hey, and hey, can I plug something?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm working on a book in the background, and I'm writing a book that is going to be, it's going to be short, and it's going to be a swift kick in the pants to the AIDS industry. It's a short book.
Yes.
You're not going to have to suffer too much. You won't have to pay $1 million for it, but I'm working on it. It'll be out soon. probably beginning, end of the year, beginning of the year.
They're going to be really intrigued after next hour, by the way.
Oh,
we're
going
to have Clark Baker from the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice. We'll tell you a little bit more about that.
I just want people to read it to help free the slaves.
All right. I love that. Now, we're going to take a break. Thank you, Liam. We'll be right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you wanna rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
While on the break, miracle of miracles occurred. We were talking about him. His ears must have been burning. Peter Doshi. I thought he was still in Japan, but he's back in the States. Peter, he joins us now. Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thank you.
Should I call you Professor?
No, that would be incorrect.
Well, you are teaching so many people such good things, Peter. It's great to have you back on board. Really thrilled to connect with you.
Thank you.
Now, we had read some stats before you were on with us, in fact, from Liam's latest article on this flu vaccine nonsense. And NPR actually said something just bizarre in trying to report how many deaths there are every year. And they said this on the air. They say, we're still mulling over exactly what we'll say in our reporting. We definitely say tens of thousands die from the flu on average each year. But whether we get more specific than that is still under discussion. Your ideas are welcome. Well, Peter?
I'm somewhat familiar with that. I remember that article from around 2010.
Yep.
Yeah, so what happened was CDC held a press conference after it reran its statistical model that calculates influenza deaths. And what they came out with were revised numbers for the last 30-odd years. And do you remember the 36,000 figure that
got
a lot of press?
And they're still using it. Doctors are still throwing that out, even though I think they didn't get the memo from CDC.
So the update, which wasn't announced when the CDC brought these results to the public, is that they recalculated each year during the 1990s, which previously they had said averaged to 36,000. The recalculation, though, came out to around 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that for those exact same years, the CDC now says that 25,000 people died on average over that decade. So we're not saying that influenza virus got milder over time. We're saying that the calculations was bad. And their updated calculation is far lower.
Well, did they break out the stats to say secondary complications from flu, pneumonia, et cetera? I mean, that was another big controversy that they weren't validating. Oh, this was definitely the flu.
Right. So that still stands. This fundamental issue still stands in that we're talking about a statistical projection onto other deaths. So if you think about accidents, right, how many people die in traffic accidents, or you think about heart disease, you look at the stats, those numbers refer to actual people, to actual death certificates that can be, you know, if you had the permission to...
You can verify and validate.
Them. There's, of course, privacy concerns, but you could actually count those people up one by one. With influenza, it's completely different. The people that this 36,000 or 25,000 or whatever the number is refer to are people that whose deaths have already been classified as due to another cause. So it might be a heart disease person, it might be a pneumonia. These are people who have already died. They've already been tallied in another column. But the CDC is saying, we think those deaths were somehow associated with influenza.
And we want them over here. We're going to put them over here because we want them here.
Right. So if you counted up everything like this, you get more people dying every year than actually died.
Well, that's why I've said, you know, when I went back with you years ago, we talked about it. He said, you know, it could be in reality of the validated, verified flu deaths could be closer to even 1,000 a year. Some years maybe less.
Right. So if you do look at the actual counted influenza deaths, you do get numbers that are closer to 1,000. Problem there is that we don't even know whether those were true influenza deaths.
Even
basically,
those.
Basically, it's all fancy guesswork.
Fancy guesswork. So the new definition of science is fancy guesswork. That's kind of what this new study is that Liam and I have been discussing. I know you just got it, so I'm not going to ask you to comment in great detail, but a cursory review kind of shows you it's not a whole lot new coming out of this.
Well, it sounds like the bottom line message is that that I'm seeing in the press reporting about is that influenza vaccines aren't as good as we thought. The reason that that's not such a new message is that if you read any of the Cochrane reviews over the past few years on influenza vaccines, you get the same message, not as good as we thought. So I don't know why we keep thinking that they're so great, considering the message over and over for anybody who systematically approaches this topic is that the vaccines are not 100%, nowhere near 100%. And mind you, when you even if it was 100%, it's still specifically aimed at influenza viruses. And influenza viruses are only a fraction of the things that cause flu-like symptoms. So well, people get sick in the winter, right? They get flu-like symptoms. What are the chances that is actually influenza? That's really the key question.
We don't
care which virus they're getting infected with.
Right, and we don't have a definitive answer for that. I mean, I think as we've discussed before, they should have just basically abandoned the entire flu vaccine campaign in 1975 under the Gerald Ford disaster with the flu then.
I think what you really need to do is say, what is the threat? You know, before you start bringing up the solution, you have to talk about what is the threat. And so we need systematic surveillance to figure out actually what respiratory agents are causing people to get sick.
Could it be more of an issue of toxicology and nutrient deficiency?
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
We need systematic approaches to figure out what is making people sick.
And
if you think that these flu-like illnesses are worth actually doing something about from a public health perspective, then the first thing you better figure out is what actually are these flu-like illnesses?
Maybe.
Not just assume that they're influenza, but to actually take samples and figure out what's causing them. Some of them might be chemicals.
Liam, go ahead.
Some of them might be rhinovirus. Some might be adenovirus. Some might be...
Hold on, Peter. I want to hear from Liam on this. Go ahead.
Maybe, but my bias or my instinct would be, having lived in big cities, would be that you don't need system-wide surveillance on people to figure out why they're sick. You have to clean up the environment. I mean, Have you lived in the 160s in on Manhattan? Have you lived in South Boston or Dorchester or even parts of North Cambridge, Somerville?
Or the Amoy Gardens apartments outside of Hong Kong?
Have you lived in some of these places? I don't think you have to go hunting for viruses because these viruses don't really cause problems among the majority of people who are exposed to them if they have properly high-functioning immune systems, proper clean water, food. Life is stressful, and life for poor people, and believe me, I'm not a rich person, is stressful. You get sick more often, or if you're living in a very bad environment, you get sick. And the modern medical fixation is, of course, on the specter, the invader, the ghost in the right. They're always looking for some sort of ghost invading you, like they're I don't know, millennial clerics trying to beat the witches out of women who don't do what they're supposed to do, you know, that kind of thing. So I would just say I want the CDC and the FDA to more or less go away. I want people to have the right. I want communities to invest in their water systems, their food.
Peter, you know, it's really astonishing. Yesterday I had a PhD guy, Dr. Brian Hooker, and he's been questioning the CDC's 5 studies. And you know, this is a little far afield, but it just goes to the behavior of the Centers for Disease Control. That there are 5 studies that they claim thimerosal mercury in vaccines was safe and would not cause any problems, neurological or autism, that were evidently fake, fraudulent, and manipulated. And now they have valid, through Freedom of Information Act requests, evidence to show this. So there's a pattern of behavior here that is deeply conflicted.
Yeah. I sometimes think it's the we know best behavior.
Mm. Peter, you've dug into the AIDS thing from time to time. You sent me some data on HIV testing. Any comments on? We're going to talk about HIV testing. We've got a great guest coming up. Did you know that HIV tests are now being defeated in criminal court cases? They don't stand up to scrutiny.
I was completely unaware.
You go to OMSJ, OMSJ.org, and I think that you will be excited as somebody who's weighed in on this for a long time.
Yeah, it's stunning information that's being revealed. OMSJ.org, the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice. We're going to have Clark Baker on next hour talking about this.
But, you know, I mean, I know that you've looked at the AIDS thing and tried to help people understand that these tests, these HIV tests, are, again, this sort of ghostly specter to convince people to take drugs that destroy them. And it's been a tough battle because the pharmaceutical goons get out there on the web and beat you up and call you names. But they've brought it into the court of law. And now, I mean, if you could bring flu tests into the court of law, you'd say, how much does this come up positive for? What are you calling a flu case? What's a flu-like symptom? You get flu-like symptoms from taking most drugs, right?
I don't know.
That's all right, Peter. What you do know is sensational, and what you validated and published in the peer-reviewed journals is sensational because it's really brought the questioning, you know, brought the science back in where science has seemingly been abandoned for the we know best, just listen to us, believe us, don't look below or behind the curtain. And you did, and what you found has really helped a lot of people out around the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Peter, for all the good work on the HIV testing stuff.
Yeah, and if you have, after you review this new Lancet study, any more insight, I'd love to have you back on. I know we got you all of a sudden, but it was too exciting for me to say, no, we can't. We got you. We got to get you on.
Yeah, I haven't read the study yet, so I really can't comment on it. But from the likes of it, it doesn't sound like there's a bunch, you know, too, that's surprising in there.
Yeah, I think you'll find that to be the case, but certainly I'd love to talk with you more about it. Peter, thanks for joining us today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. A great surprise return visit.
Thank you.
Hey, that was cool, but what did we learn today, Liam? This first hour, we've got a lot more to do, but boy, oh boy, did we learn to get our flu shots like little boys and girls, good boys and girls?
If you want to get sick, I guess.
Yeah, if we want to create a pandemic, of course.
Maybe that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something wrong with these people in these universities who don't care what happens to the actual patient. They're more concerned about stuff they put through their Betty Crocker PCR oven.
Well, when you talked about, and there was a cartoon you did about HPV causing mental retardation among doctors and government people that, you know, find out about HPV, I think the influenza virus has caused the same thing in these people.
Yeah, mass hysteria among people who hear about it.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, boy, we've all had the... Y'all get a cold. Let's look at the food in the country. Let's look at what people eat. Let's look at what's being peddled to people in the lower income neighborhoods. They're eating garbage that makes their whole bodies suffer.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Next hour, we are going to blow the doors off even further of the HIV mythology. Clark Baker comes back to the Robert Scott Bell Show from the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice. And we're going to talk about all those cases. HIV tests are falling apart in court.
This is amazing. I hope people stay tuned. This is
world changing stuff.
This is big.
Yeah.
It huge. Really is. When you take the thing, I've been screaming about this for a long time. People have been screaming about it for twice as long as I have.
All right.
These tests don't work. Now they brought it to court. They don't
work. Well, when we come back, we're going to show you just how badly they don't work in court. And that's coming up. In the meantime, just reminding you, take a break, a breather, take a deep breath. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to
wake up!
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
Yeah, you want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we are going to put something on trial that belongs to be on trial, and it's not the people who are claimed to have HIV and have unprotected sex. It's the HIV tests themselves. And we got the guy who's put them on trial inadvertently or purposefully. We're going to find out. His name is Clark Baker. I've had him on the Robert Scott Bell Show many times over the years, so hopefully you know him and love him like we do here. Also, Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist and investigative journalist here, is also in studio as we talk to Clark Baker from the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice, OMSJ.
We got a theme song. Hold on.
Do we?
Dun, 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 dun. Clark Baker, PI.
Clark Baker, he is the PI. He was, U.S. Marine. Was at the Los Angeles County police officer.
And detective.
Yep, and a whistleblower. Found out what it was like to blow the whistle and then get canned and then find his way back in through the courts and get exonerated. And Clark, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
So where did the idea come from that we need to put the HIV test on trial? Because there are a lot of people that you know, have been brought up on charges of, and we're not talking about, you know, often the nicest people in the world here, but are they really criminals if they've been tested positive on an HIV test and then, you know, suddenly they're accused of a potential murder? I mean, just by having sex.
Well, I didn't just come up with the idea of putting HIV tests on trial. As you remember, I wrote a report in 2008 that we've talked about, Gallows Egg,
yes,
and in which I looked at allegations against Peter Duesberg and Celia Farber, and during that investigation, I found a whole bunch of inconsistencies between the marketing and what the National Institutes of Health and the CDC were putting out, and reality, and so I made a lot of attempts to contact people at the NIH and CDC. Unfortunately, when you write to them, and any of your listeners can verify this themselves, when you write to them, you won't get a response from the NIH or the CDC. You get a response from marketing organizations that have no responsibility regarding the veracity of what they have to say.
Regarding the facts, in other words.
Regarding other facts. And they can lie. And they are authorized to lie because they're just marketing people. And the CDC and the NIH has disclaimers on their websites that say, don't believe anything that
that we say or write. Clark, yesterday I was covering on the Robert Scott Bell Show here a story about the government wanting to basically be able to lie to deny Freedom of Information Act requests. Not to say that, well, here you can have it, we'll redact it, but we can actually tell you that something doesn't exist that does exist. So, you know, this is not without precedent that the government and government agencies would do this.
You know, I'm surprised that they would admit it. That they want the right to lie to the American public. I now, as a Marine and LA cop, I'm amazed that I'm no longer amazed that the U.S. government is willing to lie to the public. What I'm amazed by is their willingness to admit that they want the right to lie to the American public.
Well,
and so all of these things are the reasons why I wanted to compel people from the CDC and the NIH to tell the truth under oath. But when you subpoena them, they stonewall your subpoenas and they make it extremely difficult to get them to testify. So I decided that the best way to get them to testify is in criminal cases where we compel prosecutors to produce an expert who will testify under oath under penalty of perjury.
Key, that is so brilliant. And Liam, you know, you've been talking about these HIV tests for years, how ripe with, how fraudulent, in fact, that they are.
In 2002, I started investigating this AIDS paradigm. Now, I'd been exposed to the trouble with it in 1993 or so when I studied my macrobiotics with my mentor, Jim Cowla, and he was cooking for the AIDS and cancer group or whatever, HIV positive and cancer group, and I saw all kinds of people being healthy and doing fine. They weren't taking AZT like all their brethren and dropping dead like flies after 3 weeks in a hot car or something like that. They were doing okay. They were a little upset because they weren't drinking coffee and eating sugar, but besides that, they weren't dead and they weren't getting sick. So I'd been aware for a long time there's something wrong with the AIDS thing, but it was only in 2001 or so when a friend told me that it was really a bigger farce than I thought. And I actually got angry and said that he was more or less a denialist. And I said, I'm going to crush you. I'm going to go do the research and prove you wrong. Anyway, that's how I got into it. So I came at it trying to prove the mainstream right in some fashion. Even though I thought it was a treatable thing that you could live with and get better with,
right,
I still was trying to I still didn't know how deep it went. I started researching it, and I read the British Medical Journal Rapid Responses. There are a couple of articles that went up in 2000 and something like that. And they were on the spread of HIV and all this kind of stuff among aboriginals. And a guy called David Raznick, who's a doctor, a researcher, a chemist who you've had on the show many times, and a great defender of people's right not to take these HIV tests, was responding, and he said, by the way, he wrote, and you can read this, BMJ Rapid Responses, he wrote, HIV tests are the Achilles heel of AIDS Inc. And I looked at that, and I focused in on that, and I thought, wow, that makes sense. In other words, you're telling people they have something that they don't actually have. If you can convince them that they have it, then you can drug them to death and so on and so forth. So yeah. I made my business the business of looking into HIV testing, and I unraveled it and unrolled it. I wrote a bunch of articles. I tried to explain it to the public. A lot of people got it. A lot of people attacked me. You can still Google my name. You find people attacking me who clearly are pharma-funded goons and hacks. Sort of announce themselves as, oh, yes, I'm a very important doctor, and I'm attacking this person for pointing out the medical literature. The medical literature has been clear that HIV tests neither have standards, nor are reproducible, nor have any clinical meaning, nor indicate that somebody's infected with any particular thing, no show progression to AIDS. They are very clear that AIDS is a clinical diagnosis. In other words, you walk into the clinic, and the doctor says you have AIDS. It doesn't matter what your test result says. That they are reliant on risk groups. In other words, they're profiling. So I did my best to give this information to the so-called dissident community. And unfortunately, I found some people receptive, and I found some people sort of wed to the idea that they had disproved that HIV caused AIDS. And I said, good luck, because you can't disprove something. You can't disprove that kittens rule the world. I mean, we can have this discussion.
Well, it seems, Liam, I mean, to be as simple and straightforward as you are in this case, and as Clark is able to relate within the criminal proceedings here, and maybe even the civil cases we'll talk about, that if you cannot have, let's say, a valid test, whether it determines the presence or absence of anything, much less as a diagnostic, which, according to the journals, according to the very inserts on the so-called test that the FDA, quote-unquote, approves, does not approve to determine whether HIV is even present, how then do you go to argue that HIV does or does not cause anything?
Well, that's where Clark and the OMSJ took all of that information, deepened it, made it clear, and brought it to the attention of prosecutors, because I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a PI and I don't have the reach that Clark has. So Clark, all on his own over there, typing away, decided to get in touch with his people, investigators, prosecutors, and he made all of this testing research, which they've, I think, streamlined in some fashion, or even bulked up so that it's presentable in court. There was a lot of good stuff out there, but now it's in a couple of PDFs, and it's presentable. And if you work with the OMSJ, if you have a client who's been tested HIV positive, you can work with the OMSJ to get those charges challenged. And I want to throw it back to Clark about the success that they've had in 34 cases.
Yeah, this is sensational, Clark. Go ahead.
Well, we've had more than 34 cases. I think now we're somewhere around 100 cases that we're involved in since the beginning. The 34 cases are the cases in which we contacted defense attorneys, and we provided them with sufficient information to contact the prosecutor and let the prosecutor know that they had a defendable case.
Okay.
There are a few attorneys that we contacted who refused to have anything to do with us, and they compromised their cases either accidentally or deliberately. And it resulted in cases, it resulted in convictions.
Sure,
where
but it seems
went to prison.
It seems that if the defendants knew about that, they could go after their own attorneys for incompetent defense.
But in
absolutely, the only problem is that when you have a client like David Gutierrez, who was in solitary confinement at an Air Force brig.
It's going to be difficult to challenge, isn't it, from that position?
Yeah, the lion at the gate is the is their attorney, and if the attorney refuses, then there's nothing you can do until after he's convicted.
Yeah, you're SOL at that point, yeah.
But 34 defense attorneys took the risk.
Yeah, 34
yes,
took it.
Yeah. Absolutely. 34 attorneys who did take the risk in varying degrees, they either secured a remarkable plea bargain or all of the HIV-related charges were dismissed.
So take a pause at this point. Now, we've been told for 30 years approximately that the end of the world is the HIV virus, and it's you know you have it by taking an HIV test. So you'd expect that this is essentially a murder weapon. So you walk into a court, you're accused of spreading it, and we'll get into some of the cases after the break. You're actually accused of spreading it, as some of these people are. You walk in, the defense team brings to light all of the information about HIV tests. Now, you'd think that this is so true and this is so deadly that they're just going to go to prison for the end of their, till the end of their lives, maybe get a death sentence. What happens instead is all HIV-related charges are dropped. Now, these aren't sterling. These are, some of these guys are not great guys. Maybe they did have sex with a minor. Maybe they did have some. They did do something.
Yeah, we're not defending them. Some of them are scummy.
Some of them are scumbags. Let's be honest. Yeah. But make the charges real. So you go in with this information. All HIV related charges dropped. That's exactly how honest and effective HIV testing is. You can walk in, present the medical, technical literature. All you have to do is write a brief, get the prosecutor to look at it and go, wow, we're going to let that part go.
Well, and it's fascinating because if you tried to take this up within the academia or blogosphere that the academia controls, including even Wikipedia, you'll lose because they can, as Clark said, the government doesn't answer directly under oath, and they have people that can lie, obfuscate, just challenge you based on credentials, but never answer the charges. In a court of law, they actually have to reference facts and defend those facts, and they have no defense against what we're going to share with you this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Clark Baker from the OMSJ is our guest, and Liam Sheff is here in studio as well, and we're going to rock your health world because we have to for freedom, liberty, and for scientific, the facts, ma'am, just the facts. RobertScottBell.com for all the links. LiamSheff.com. I've got the links up to OMSJ as well. And I appreciate y'all calling in anytime. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. If you have a story or comment or question related to this or anything else, please do so. NaturalNewsRadio.com, where you can get the email alerts. We're coming right back with more powerful healing after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, we continue on to deconstruct the HIV mythology here and letting the courts do it for us, in fact. And Clark Baker is doing a bang-up job in there. I mentioned that some of these clients are not the greatest, maybe, human beings as far as whatever, but is that the reason you choose them? Why do you choose the people to defend? What's the real purpose here, Clark?
Well, not all HIV defendants are scummy. I mean, we do have a lot of lowlifes that we're helping out. However, the reason we're involved in these cases isn't to help defend a pedophile or anything like that.
Right.
Our objective is an indictment against these clinicians who falsely claim things as fact.
Sure.
And so while the prosecutors are prosecuting factually innocent people when it comes to HIV, we have nothing to do with any of the other related charges. That's between
right.
their other attorney.
And I want to add something here for people to have a perspective. Let's say you have a husband and wife involved in a divorce. And, you know, they could be just, you know, the angriness of a divorce. This happens all the time. And one of them tests so-called positive on this HIV test. Then suddenly now you've got a case where you could end up throwing one of the spouses into the prison for now some kind of criminal act.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. The prosecutor who prosecuted the Aiken, South Carolina case in 2009, she prosecuted a teacher who was accused of spreading HIV to his wife. Obviously the wife thinks that the husband is fooling around. The husband isn't sure where he got it, and so there's distrust. There's acrimony. They got divorced, and he went to prison for 6 years.
So what I'm saying is not at all an exaggeration. In fact, what is real is even more amazing.
It is. We take these cases so that we can force clinicians to come in and testify under oath. We aren't there to defend a bad guy for any of the other things that he may or may not have done.
And when one charge is dismissed, the other charges are not dismissed. So if somebody had sex with a teenager or something like that, they're
prosecuted. Yeah, there are real criminal actions that are not.
They're prosecuted for that.
They're not absolved of those things.
Right, but they're not prosecuted for spreading something that they never had.
Right.
So what you're doing is actually providing
something
closer to justice.
Aiken, South Carolina case would just happen. By the way, I have the links up to the article at OMSJ, the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice, and Liam has some personal direct involvement interaction with the lawyer in this case. But this is an amazing story. You just brought it up, Clark. Jason Alexander Young supposedly exposed 6 women to the deadly, as they quote-unquote, HIV virus that can't be found. And so they went after him, you know, with the full extent of the law, as they say, to try and put this guy away.
The case was so solid. First of all, as I mentioned, the prosecutor, Brenda Brisbane is her name, she had a successful HIV prosecution before in her earlier case against the teacher. In this case, you have 6 women who allegedly endured something akin to a man pointing a rifle and firing and missing 6 women. Allegedly they had photographs of him having sex with at least one victim. They had 4 physicians, including the MD who helped to write the HIV testing policy and legal policies for the state of South Carolina. They had an alleged admission by our client, and they had lab tests and everything else. They had a dead bang case. And as the prosecutor, as the defense attorney told us later, without OMSJ, we wouldn't have gotten the deal that he got.
So the defense attorney, Aaron Walsh of Walsh Law in Aiken, South Carolina, took the case, was contacted by the OMSJ, and worked with the OMSJ to prepare a brief. In other words, Clark and his investigative team provided the HIV testing literature, the materials needed to cross-examine the prosecutor's expert witnesses. Then the attorney, Aaron Walsh, was able to write, what would it be called? Clark knows the name. I can't remember it. A brief or a memo or some such thing to present to the court. To present to the other side. This is presented. The other side looks at it and goes, wait a second. Okay, we're going to let these HIV charges go, and what we're going to do is offer a plea deal. Now, it turns out that the guy in question, the guy being charged, Jason Alexander Young, didn't have, let's say, a high likability factor for court, so they decided to take a deal. In other words, the jury or the judge is probably going to make some of the decision based on how somebody appears to them. Are they smirking? Are they smart-ass?
Smarmy, maybe?
Yeah, are they
whatever.
Smarmy? Are they disrespectful? Yeah. Or really, do they really not have the greatest intentions and they were trying to do something that was sort of lousy? They just actually got caught up in something bigger than they were. Mm-hmm. So they decided to take the deal. This guy was going to get – well, I'll let Clark tell it. This is the deadly gun he was going to get.
70 years?
Clark. He was going to go to jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's 30 years old. You get a 70-year charge. If he was forced to take the medication in prison, it would have been a life sentence.
Yeah, yeah. So in this case – It never went to trial. We thought it was going to go to trial. What did you submit that was so, let's say, damning for the prosecution's potential witnesses, doctors, experts on the HIV test issue that caused them to back down and go, whoa, we don't want to try this?
Well, I don't know what the prosecutor's mindset was. No one contacted me from the prosecutor's office, nor should they have. However, you would think that if this was a case about a man who fired a rifle six times at six different women, they would not offer what's called an Alford plea, which allows a person to plead guilty just for the sole purpose of accepting a plea bargain. He didn't even have to admit that he was infected with HIV, which was what these four medical doctors were prepared to testify to until we expressed that we were planning on impeaching all of them.
And he walked out with a sentence of a number of years that is, he's actually up for parole in a month, in December, a month and a half. So, in other words, the guy had sex. That was his crime. He apparently lied about something that wasn't true. He might not have known that it wasn't true, but it's not true. So he went from 70 years to walking out in December. In other words, HIV tests, even under these circumstances, don't hold up in court. Now, I'd like to, and again, I want to thank the defense attorney, Aaron Walsh of Walsh Law in Aiken, South Carolina, who said to me, let's see if I can find this, that he would... If he could ever get an asymptomatic antibody reactive person, he said he'd try the thing all day long. In other words, he's so confident about the miserable nature of these HIV tests, he'd love a case to fall into his lap, maybe where the client was a little more likable,
yeah.
and maybe not this kid who really wasn't presenting the best face, but somebody like this poor guy in the divorce who's in jail for what, 6 years, you said, Clark?
Yeah, he went to prison for six, or he was sentenced for 6 years in 2009. So he's probably up for parole maybe next year or the following year.
Is there anything we can do for him?
Well, if somebody's listening who knows about the case, we contact him. He needs to contact an attorney. He probably has a decent malpractice claim against the clinic that falsely claimed that he was infected with HIV. And I would imagine that if every single patient who was found to be HIV positive in Aiken, South Carolina, they all probably have a pretty good class action lawsuit against these clinics that made these false diagnoses.
And I think
the fact that these four doctors couldn't testify under oath about these facts, that's something that every so-called HIV positive patient should consider in the area of Aiken, South Carolina.
In that area, and really anywhere in the country, what you need to do if you have one of these fakakta HIV tests is go get a lawyer, have the lawyer contact the OMSJ and say you'd like to participate in a class action lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
get your records together, and let's figure out how to take this to court. Now, the case prior to the Aiken case was the case of a Corporal R.L. We're going to just use his initials, and maybe when we we'll get a little bit way into it, but we're going to hit a break. When we come back, if this isn't interesting enough to reduce 70 years to a couple of months, the Corporal RL case, weren't all charges dismissed, Clark?
All charges were withdrawn.
Just withdrawn.
Which means they can be. He can be recharged, but he was scheduled to go to trial on October 31st, and they just withdrew all the charges.
Yeah, there's an article here, OMSJ recognized in USMC, the Marine Corps case. We're going to talk more about that. Clark, has the OMSJ taken part in any of these cases that actually went to trial where the so-called doctor, professional, HIV expert witnesses were impeached on the stand?
We've had four cases where we either deposed or cross-examined someone on the stand, an HIV expert, four of those. We've never had a full trial because as soon as they realize what's up, the prosecution surrenders.
Fascinating, fascinating discussion here today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're talking with Clark Baker of the Office of Medicine, Medical and Scientific Justice, and it's OMSJ.org. Liam Sheff is with us today, of course, and covering a subject that is not covered anywhere else in this way in the old media, just right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I'm grateful for both of them to be here today to do this. If you know anybody subjected to this so-called HIV test and the prosecution that may follow, the OMSJ is a fantastic resource for you. If you'd like to support their efforts as well, we have the links up. And we're going to take a quick break here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, robertscottbell.com, all the links up to the articles on the OMSJ, as well as Liam Sheff. And, you know, the Marine Corps, man, they tried to take on somebody and they've dropped or just stopped it. We're going to find out more about that case as well with Clark Baker and Liam Sheff right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show.
Scott Belcher.
Alive. It's alive.
The masked man who outsmarted you on your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
We're about to get more into the case the United States Marine Corps had against one of its soldiers, so to speak, and one of the Marines there, and how they dropped it or just stopped suddenly. But before that, I want to reference back to the Aiken case in South Carolina. I mean, this is a small, sleepy town outside of Augusta, Georgia. That's where they hold the Masters every year. That's why anybody would know that area. And, you know, a southern town like that, I mean, it's like, you know, news travels fast. It goes out throughout the whole community. It's not like, a big city of hundreds of millions, much less 10 million or 5 million or even 1 million. And, you know, when this case broke, Clark, in Aiken, this was major news in the newspapers, was it not?
Absolutely. And in a place with a population like that, you lose your cat and it'll get on the news.
Yes, so the little old lady calls cat and the fire department. And that's front page news there.
That's right. And in this case, in January, February, when he was arrested and charged and women were asked to call in and talk about this dangerous predator when they were building this case, it was huge news. The news now, part of the story is that this guy who allegedly threatened the lives of six women was cleared. That's part of the story. The other part of the story that is quite telling is how the media characterized it. There was no fanfare or hoopla about him being cleared of these charges.
Six felony charges. Gone.
Six. I mean, think about it. A man takes a rifle and tries to kill six women, they're not going to settle this kind of thing. But that's exactly what they did in this case. And the news media, all they could do is say he copped out to two charges.
And it was like not a front page story anymore, even.
The story is dead. I don't know the political connections of Strom Thurmond Jr., who happens to be Aiken's chief prosecutor.
Interesting.
But I would imagine that Strom Thurmond Jr. Probably has enough connections to keep the story quiet.
Probably received a note from the local medical authority. 34 out of 34 cases have results similar to this, exactly like this, or with charges, HIV charges being dropped completely. And if you go to omsj.org and you look at the Innocence Project button at the top, you can read about every single one of those cases. The one prior to this one was the Corporal RL case, in which a Marine corporal was accused of, and I'll just let Clark tell the story and the result. The result is that that the U.S. Marines on their private server have an entirely different view of HIV criminal law than you would think that they would. Why? Because, again, of the work of the OMSJ, but I'll throw it to Clark.
Yeah, a few months after Sergeant Gutierrez was convicted in Kansas and went to prison, and we started working on the appeal in that case, we got word out to military officials in Southern California and elsewhere about the case. And it just happened that one of the local investigators happened to glance on the desk of one of the defense attorneys at 29 Palms and spotted a case file of a Marine corporal who was facing life in prison for exposing another service member to HIV. And what struck her, the investigator, was that the Gutierrez case, which was a complete abomination by the U.S. Air Force. Those attorneys were either incompetent or they deliberately skewered the case. But that case was being used as a template for the Marine Corps prosecutors to use against Corporal R.L. And so they were notified that they were throwing
everything at this case, were they not?
They not only were throwing everything at this case, but the according to the other investigator, prosecutors were very cocky and jovial about how they were going to send this guy to prison.
Well, you were a Marine, or they say once a Marine, always a Marine. But did this take on special significance, being that you're now dealing with the Marine Corps?
Well, again, my concern isn't about individual defendants or what the criminal charges are. OMSJ's objective is to expose what the NIH and the CDC refuse to expose. So I was interested in the case because the stakes were extremely high. This kid was facing life in prison, and if he got an early release, deportation, because he's a resident alien in this country as well. So his life would have been over if he had been convicted.
Yeah, Captain Beck, is he the defense attorney there in the Marines, this Captain Beck?
Yeah, Captain Beck, and there was a major... who was also co-counsel on the case. They were both defending him.
Well, yes. Captain Beck, this quote I'm going to read from him about the OMSJ. If you're in a situation like this, it's sensational what he wrote. Our success in challenging the HIV issues in our case is largely due to Clark Baker, a former Marine, retired LAPD investigator and licensed CAPI, Baron Coleman, a young civilian lawyer with expertise challenging HIV prosecutions, and other members of Clark's team at the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice, OMSJ. Without them, we would not have been able to effectively challenge the HIV testing, chain of custody, and alleged diagnosis of our client. You should contact OMSJ immediately if you are detailed to an HIV-related case. I mean, this is a pretty strong statement here.
That went out to every Marine Corps defense attorney worldwide, and we expect it'll probably filter to all of the other military branches in the next week or so.
That's an incredible thing. This has now affected the United States military. They're aware that the HIV thing is essentially a trick,
a scam,
a Las Vegas three-card Monte shuffle that you can get out of if you simply present the facts. Now, there's a second paragraph in that document that you got off the secure U.S. military Marine server, and it's in your document at the OMSJ. And would you mind reading it?
Yeah.
There's some language in it that I find stunning. Reckless. Look for the word reckless, and look for who's being reckless.
Listen to this. Captain Beck concludes in this letter, which is all over the Marine Corps and probably the armed forces everywhere now. They have it on their boards there. An HIV case is not a slam dunk for the government. Get the right HIV experts on your team, and you will probably be able to kill the case before trial. If the government is reckless enough to go to trial, you will probably be able to get a strong win for your client.
Incredible, impressive. If the government is reckless, if the government is reckless enough to pursue HIV. In other words, this thing that we say that millions of people have is a reckless thing to pursue anybody legally with.
And it is also reckless against decent law-abiding citizens. I've got a civil case in Illinois going on right now where a decent law-abiding young woman in her 20s was told that she was HIV positive. She started taking the drugs. Of course, she was told that she has to tell all of her boyfriends or her friends who have any potential contact with her that she's infected with HIV. She starts taking the tests. She started to die. She stopped taking the drugs. She recovered, and we have since discovered that it was a misdiagnosis. This is what is happening to decent people. We've got a case in Tennessee where a family is forced to give their children these deadly, toxic HIV drugs or lose them to child services. That's why OMSJ is involved in these cases.
Yeah, you've taken it to another level now, Clark, and I'm glad you did. And this is, you know, this kind of parallels a lot of the stories about the forced medicating, the forced drugging, the forced chemotherapy, the forced radiation, the forced vaccination. Basically, the government utilizing force to enforce, if you will, the medical industrial complex's view on human health and the body. And so it's much bigger than just HIV, although HIV is the latest incarnation of how they utilize this world religion. And yes, I'm calling it that. It's a dangerous death cult of modern medicine to promote its tools. Its tools are very dangerous, very toxic and deadly, and as dangerous, perhaps more so than the prison sentences that they're trying to get on these so-called HIV cases.
In California, AZT is listed by the EPA as a carcinogen and a mutagen, and it's illegal to flush it down your toilet because they don't want the fish to be contaminated. But you can give it, you can give Retrovir to young black babies, and according to all of the experts who don't want to be cross-examined by OMSJ, that's okay.
Mm. It's not okay here, and it's not okay for to you, Clark, as someone who really has stood up. Anytime you see injustice, you've stood up at the risk of your career, at the risk of a lot of things. And, you know, we credit you a lot. We love you a lot for all that you're doing and standing up in this way. And it's just amazing the successes. This isn't just a pipe dream. You've really put, you know, everything into this, and you are actually succeeding in establishing real justice in a criminal justice system that has lacked justice for a long time.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but this is an effortless thing. I enjoy preying on predators, and I'm just shocked. And as a former Marine, as a retired LAPD officer, I've worn the uniform for 26 years protecting and defending this country. I can't believe that my country is doing this to Americans.
Mm. Well, this is it. We've got lots more to cover on this. I'm sure there'll be more trials, but maybe less so as the word gets out on the street. And, of course, the so-called pseudo-scientific community that defends this HIV test and testing, they're going to try and find some way to scream and cry in another field. But in court, they are losing, and they are losing badly, which means the people are winning, health is winning, justice is winning. And again, Clark Baker, the OMSJ, OMSJ.org. Everybody check it out. You'll never know. I mean, maybe you will. Somebody that you know may be touched by an issue like this. And the work that we're doing here that Clark has done for many years now, and it's really manifesting wonderfully, is something that would save the life of someone who does not deserve what these prosecutors who don't know any better, and they should know better, but they don't, are doing to innocence in this case.
Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, Clark Baker, glad to have you on board, Liam. Excellent, great information to get out there.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled with what Clark's doing.
Yeah, and believe me, if any of this went too fast, this will be replaying every 4 hours for the next 24, and then it will be downloadable as an audio file, MP3 free download at the National News Radio Archives of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Please send this out far and wide. A lot of people's lives are depending upon it. Thanks again, Clark. We'll be right back with more powerful healing after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam, this has been a long time coming to see that the good guys are getting some wins here on this issue. I mean, we've seen some brutality. You've seen some brutality up close and personal on this issue. And to have Clark Baker doing this, a guy, a Marine, a policeman, it's a guy that believes in justice and liberty and all of those things, and tenacious, as he said, this is effortless, right? Is that amazing? For most people, this would be, this is what he lives for. This is an astonishing thing that's happening. And we knew it couldn't happen within the so-called medical, scientific, academic world because they own and control everything. But this is out of their element. This is out of their terrain. They've got no way to challenge those that are being challenged. When they're held up on the stand under oath to defend the HIV hypothesis, the test itself, et cetera, they fall apart.
They do. They whimper and they cry and they admit that they don't know what they're talking about. And I've talked to plenty of so-called HIV doctors and experts, and they come up, and I remember actually at one of the Health Freedom Expos, one of these clowns came up to me, and he said, "Oh, well, I think that you're being too hard on the test."
And remember him? Yes,
yeah.
I do.
And I said, "Well, wait a second, Mr. Expert. Why is it that you give a test that comes up positive for pregnancy to pregnant women?" And he said, "Well, it's true that there are some cross-reactions." And I said, "Don't waste my time.
Yeah,
get away from me. You're not winning any humanitarian awards over here." Now, I watched little children be murdered in New York City in the Incarnation Children's Center, and I watched them be killed over and over again because they tested HIV positive, and so they could be used like pincushions for these nasty drugs, these chemotherapy bone-killing drugs. And they died. Of course they died, and I reported that they died, and then the New York Times said, "Oh, nobody died," and then a few years later, the New York Times said, "Well, some people died," and then and then they said, "But it wasn't due to the drugs." "Well, how many people died?" 25. No, 50. No, well, actually, 200. But it wasn't because of the drugs. They just accidentally, on purpose, took drugs that killed them and accidentally died. Of course it's the drugs. Of course it is. It's absurd and ridiculous. It's like saying that Gary Webb didn't die of the two gunshots that he supposedly gave himself for, you know, reporting on the cocaine flooding into the cities through CIA connections. Well, yes, he accidentally, brutally murdered himself by shooting himself in the head twice. It's the same kind of ridiculousness. You just don't believe it. It strains incredulity. But when I was writing about it for the press, I remember running into trouble with these idiot editors all the time. I'm using the word idiot a lot today. I guess I have some feeling about this. Hmm. But I ran into trouble with these idiot editors when I would say, "Look, I have to include the part." They wanted to say, "Oh, it's a terrible story. They're using kids in drug trials, but maybe they're saving their lives." I said, "Wait a second. These kids don't really test positive for everything. You have to include the part where I include literature from HIV test." Well, I don't know if we can do that. And I said, "Wait a second. What are you saying?" I actually had people approach me and say, even the BBC thing, the ACF TV, they wanted to make a movie. They made a good documentary called Guinea Pig Kids, and I said, "You have to include the part on HIV testing. It's not complicated. You just open the test packet. You go to the medical literature that says no standards. Comes up positive if you have worms. Goes away when you treat the worms. Nonsense." Well, that's, you know, "We can't do that. Bridge too far." Excuse me? What do you mean? You can't tell
Listen,
the truth?
Listen, we have come into contact with many good people, too, in the holistic community that were still under the impression, that had never looked deep enough under the surface about the whole HIV issue, that still perceived that they had to, albeit naturally, address this virus and somehow kill it with natural things. And although this is not a toxic approach when you're talking about truly natural methods, the thing is that they were still chasing the phantom. And it was still shocking to them to learn, like what we have learned many years ago and we've been talking about for many years, that there is no phantom. The illusion of the phantom was simply enough. They didn't even need a real thing. This is what gets me crazy when I hear Len Horowitz claim that HIV was made in a lab somewhere and a government CIA plot, right? We've talked CIA stuff, believe me. But there's no phantom. They just needed us to believe that there was something real, and that was as powerful. In fact, it was more powerful, because then you could never invalidate it, and you could always manage to talk people into the drugs, because the phantom that you couldn't see was going to kill you someday unless you did the drugs, which ended up, of course, fulfilling the prophecy.
All you have to do is convince people that they're haunted by a ghost. How do you disprove that you're haunted by a ghost? It's that example I gave earlier. Let's do it. Prove to me that kittens don't run the world. Go ahead. Kittens run the world. Prove to me that they don't.
I believe they run the world.
Kittens no, you have
no,
to take
it. I know. You're just so stunning. Of course. Kittens don't. I can't prove it.
No,
I can't
go ahead. Make an argument.
Kittens don't rule the world because they're too furry. No one would ever believe them.
Well, they actually, see, you don't understand how genius they are. They put us to sleep, and they brainwash us, and we don't remember when they actually pulled the levers.
I give up. They rule the world.
You can't disprove a negative.
Exactly.
What
it is.
Right. So you go up to these academics, and they can waste your time all day trying to prove, disprove, or whatever the kittens do or do not rule the world. Who cares? These HIV tests don't test for anything. Meanwhile, you got the whole gay community. It's a topic for a different show in this country. Sort of being trapped and sort of trapping themselves in this lifestyle of being handmaidens to the pharmaceutical industry, babysat by and at the same time crushed under the weight of, well, we get our medical care. Well, we go in for the testing. Well, people sort of leave us alone in our communities, unlike when they used to beat us up and defile us. Well, it's not good enough, gay community. It's not good enough. You got to wake up. You've got to get out from under this self-imposed slavery, this exile that you live in. You actually live in it. You go to these places and let people treat you like pincushions, take blood, and then tell you that you're infected with something. Meanwhile, test the validity of the test. Meanwhile, take responsibility for your own health. Stop asking the government to babysit you. I mean it. That's what's been happening. People who now support this industry want the government to babysit them, and that's who's supporting it. I'm not trying to be mean to people who are sick, because I believe you can have chronic, long-term acquired immune deficiency. And I believe that immune deficiency is highly treatable. Hmm. I don't think that HIV tests progress to AIDS. Hmm. I think that people who make themselves sick by taking poisons progress to immune deficiency.
Yeah, well said. And that's what we're talking about here, a reality that the pharmaceutical industrial complex cannot stomach, because it dissolves their power, it dissolves their economic base, and literally, basically takes their sheeple customers out of the corral, and suddenly they can't bring them back in. Because once you wake up to this reality, you have to be on heavy medication to go back to sleep and pretend that it doesn't exist. And, you know, this relates also to the hepatitis C issue, which, you know, we don't have time to go into in great depth. But I deal with this all of the time in the holistic community, where they're intent on killing another virus that's never been isolated, when we're really dealing with, you know, let's say hepatic inflammation, viral inflammation, toxicity, nutritional deficiencies. And yes, the natural things that the natural docs are doing are going to help, because they're going to reduce microbial burden anyway. But the point is, then they're relying upon these tests, viral load tests, PCR tests, that don't tell anything about how the patient is really doing. And you know, it's just, I think I mentioned this on the air a few weeks ago, of a woman who had, you know, all the money in the world to pay for the tests and such, and was feeling great, utilizing natural remedies, but, you know, the viral load counts were high. She felt great, but she's like, no, unless these viral load, you know, it's like the reliance upon these snapshot blood tests or viral load. I mean, again, no validity or no sense of reality. It's like, you're doing phenomenally well. Your digestion is great. Your elimination of bowel patterns have recovered. Your pains, your joint pains are gone. You've got energy again, yet the test is going to tell you you're about to die. Do you believe how you feel, how your body is functioning, or do you believe this snapshot that the pharmaceutical groups have said, hey, this means you're going to die, take this drug?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? The Nazis thought Judaism was a contagious disease. You can imagine anything as contagious and then treat it. And you saw how we treated Judaism in Europe. We saw how we eradicated that virus. Come on. This is Nazi medicine. You got to get out of the mindset that you can eradicate something from the body by poisoning people to death. So Hep C, another scourge walking the land, another invention of the pharmaceutical company for people who are of a certain age, usually in their 50s, who've lived a long American life, which means they've been exposed to drugs and they have some liver damage, some liver inflammation. You give them a test. Used to be called hepatitis non-type A, non-type B. In other words, non-specific liver inflammation.
Yes.
You now look for non-specific liver signs of liver inflammation using tests that couldn't find a barn in a barn. Never mind a piece of straw in the barn. Never mind a needle in a haystack. Couldn't even find the barn. Well, you get where I'm going. I've had this conversation with people, too. I've had the conversation. Look into the PCR. Never mind your viral load. How are you feeling?
Yes. Thank you very much. And that's the point. What Liam's saying, what I'm saying is here, we genuinely want to help those that are in need that have a real immune deficiency, which we don't argue against that reality, whether it be acquired or developed endogenously due to other things. However, it doesn't matter to us. But the bottom line is when you know how to heal, you don't have to chase phantoms. You can bring about that healing in so many natural ways. And we don't even want to oversimplify it to just say it's purely physiological toxicity, although that's a huge part of it from drugs or other things. But there are significant emotional components in certain sub communities, so to speak, or communities out there that are dealing with ostracization. How do you say ostracization? How do you say that?
I'll go with that.
Okay, we'll let it ride for now. We're at the end of the show. Afterwards, I start going abba da bee, abba da boo, and I made it through
Vortexinal.
Another show. Yes, we make them up as we go here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you, Liam. Thank you to Clark Baker. Thank you all for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We've got lots more healing. Remember, the healing revolution tomorrow, Friday.
Stunning show. We pounded the HPV. We pounded the vaccines. We pounded it.
Oh, yeah. Feeling good. Yes, pump you up. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow with some powerful healing. It's the healing revolution on the Robert Scott Bell Show on Fridays that we do every week with Dr. Frank King and lots more. RobertScottBell.com. Remember this. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Yeah.